Welcome to episode number 18 of Eagle's Eye Report for Wednesday, August 31st, 2022. The show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLV, and co-hosted by producer and friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who I will say hello to in just a minute. But let's get past the stuff that I pretty much shovel out to you every week. First off, the title of today's show is, and yeah, you can believe this, Dummycrats Choreographing Disaster. Yeah, let me say that again. Dummycrats Choreographing Disaster. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. And no, I say this weekly, this is not a pleasant way to introduce a show. But today, reality is blatant. And as I constantly say, it's not very pleasant in many aspects. Thus, the very reason for Eagle's Eye Report in the first place. This show airs live on Shake and Wake Radio, our thanks to Annie, and also on PSN Radio and SoFlo Radio. Do me a favor, if you get a chance, these are listener-supported platforms. Please go to these websites and give them a $5, $10, $20, whatever you can afford donation. And if you really want to support them, even if it's $5 a month, click the box that says make this a reoccurring donation. The reason for that is once you click that box, they have an idea that they can count on that on a monthly basis. That allows them to grow the network. That allows them to add features that you can use or make it easier or more productive for you to use their platforms. So, again, make a donation, but if you can, click the reoccurring button, even if it's only $5 a month. It lets them know they have a stream of income. So how are you today, Stephen?
Not too bad. Running a little bit ragged, a little bit tired. I got about 4 hours of sleep, and then I was up for like an hour and a half, and then I got about another 3 hours of sleep after that. But I wanted to tell Annie that Roger appreciates this little bit extra time, because he was worried about not having enough time today, and then you give him an extra 7 minutes.
Well, let's see if 7 minutes will do, but thank you, Annie. You are always appreciated, my friend. All right, so let's get down to business. The first thing I want to do is tell everybody, I told you that we would be talking about recall on this show today. I'm going to back away from that promise because I have found out some things that are requiring me to do a little bit more research. It's not as simple as I thought, and it is not something that is exercised across the entire country. As a matter of fact, there are some states that have had pushback against it, and attorney generals within those states who are basically traitorous to their population, although I won't say that too loud, traitorous to their population, and have not allowed these issues to be put forward. So I will be doing a little bit more research on recall, not only what it means, but what we can do to make it more effective, up to and including forcing it on the, at this point, conservative Supreme Court to make a once and all final decision and do that as soon as we possibly can. So this show today will not be a show on recall. Although you did get a little information here, we will have an entire show as soon as I complete the research I need to do, because it's irresponsible for me to give you information where I'm not sure of its standing. So rather than do that, I'm going to do a show today like I don't usually do, but I feel it's highly necessary, especially in a world we live in today. Today's show is a conglomerate of subjects and associated talking points that pretty much work together to spotlight our present-day choreographed disasters and failings. Again, the name of the show, okay? Dummycrats Choreographing Disaster. And for anybody who hasn't figured it out, it's not Democrats in my eyes, it's Dummycrats. So, excuse me. I apologize, but it seems like every time I get ready to do a show, the throat says, yeah, okay, F you. But anyway, here we go. The first topic I want to bring up, and again, there'll be about six or seven different topics, but they'll all work together to show you just how screwed up things are. Some of these you may be familiar with, some of them you may not be familiar with, but we have good talking points on each and every one of them. The first topic we're going to talk about is two-tiered privilege. How come migrants are allowed to come into the U.S. unjabbed, meaning they don't have a COVID-19 vaccine, not even one, but world-class tennis players are not? Okay, I would tell you that I have watched a YouTube video and seen some other reports whereby, and I like Peter Ducey, he works for Fox News, and he is the White House reporter for Fox News. And he pretty much puts Press Secretary Jean Perret under the gun as often as he possibly can. Peter Ducey made another salient point Monday when he asked her to explain why unvaccinated migrants are walking into the country every day, but a tennis star like Novak, I can't even pronounce his name, Djokovic, Djokovic, I'm guessing that's what it is, has been denied entry to compete in the U.S. Open. This is probably, without a doubt, the best tennis player on the planet. His health is phenomenal. It has to be, or he couldn't win the tournaments he's winning. He couldn't win as many games as he's winning. This guy is in optimum health. He's constantly being checked on, but he hasn't had a vaccine, so he is not allowed in the country. Yet the door is wide open. Why do I say that? Because actually, there were some National Guard that actually locked the door, the gates coming across the border in Texas not too long ago. And the border guards came right behind them and unlocked the gates and allowed those who were standing behind the gates into the United States. So the access is completely open for them. Even when they are temporarily denied, they are overruled, those who deny, and they're allowed in. How many of them are asked as they walk into the United States? From there, they either get on planes or go to New York, or they go to Chicago, or they go to Los Angeles, or they go to Washington, D.C. in buses, or whatever. How many of these people coming across the border illegally have been tested? How many of them have had shots? How many of them would even claim they have had a shot? How many of them, again, are even asked? Of course, Jean-Pierre had no answer as usual, stating that the U.S. government cannot discuss the details of individual visa cases. Are you freaking kidding me? She added that due to privacy reasons, the U.S. also does not comment on medical information of individual travelers as she relates to this tennis player. Okay.
Can I add something on that?
You sure can, because I've got a message I need to answer. So why don't you take up about the next 15 or 20 seconds while I throw an answer here?
Well, sure. You know, I was just thinking when you was going through that it is totally normal in the last 2.5 years now that world-class athletes, well, since they invented that brand new medical affliction called sudden adult death syndrome, it's totally normal for world-class athletes to drop dead over no reason whatsoever.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, nobody's going to admit the fact that it was probably myocarditis or clots.
Pericarditis, yeah.
Yeah. But no. Yeah, it has nothing to do with it.
Brand new medical affliction. Absolutely brand new. Yeah.
Well, and again, we have children dying from this at rates that are totally unheard of. Children in that are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years old dying from heart attacks, heart conditions, blood clots in the heart, myocarditis. This is such a rare occasion that no parent ever worries about it. Today they do, especially if they've taken their infant child in and had them vaccinated one time, two times, gotten them a booster. Today we are seeing a disaster, okay? But back to this. She also stated that migrants coming into the U.S. and visitors to the country are two different things. No, they're not. But again, they've got to give some reason. Ducey, I really do like this guy, followed up with asking, somebody unvaccinated comes over on a plane. You say that's not okay. Somebody walks into Texas or Arizona or New Mexico unvaccinated, and they're allowed to stay. That's not how it works, she said. It's not like someone just walks over the border. And Ducey says, that's exactly what's happening. He said, thousands of people are walking in a day. Some of them turn themselves in. Some of them are caught. Tens of thousands a week are not caught. So that's exactly what's happening. Of course, she sputtered, and not one single decent representation of any answer you can make sense out of came out of her mouth. So here we go again. We've got a two-tiered system. If you're coming across the border illegally, you are serving the mission of the extreme left liberals. Nothing should hinder you. If you're flying into the United States to take part in a huge tournament, being one of the healthiest athletes on the planet, you're not allowed to. Anybody out there that can make any sense out of what I just said, other than the fact that it doesn't suit their agenda, please let me know, because I must be really stupid. I can't figure it out, other than the fact that it fits their agenda. So let's go on to the next topic. Two-tiered FBI on display. FBI agent accused of sabotaging Hunter Biden's laptop investigation is escorted out of the building, out of the Washington, D.C. FBI building. Let me explain something to everybody out there. You want to know about theatrics? Just look at the FBI today. Each and every one of them should have their own show. They are some of the best actors and actresses on the planet today. The only thing is, they're too stupid to understand that when they have private conversations, there are times when people overhear what they're saying, like Strzok, and I could go on and on. There is a litany of these people, all the way from the top down. An FBI special agent at the heart of the whistleblower allegations that he sabotaged the agency's 2020 investigation of Hunter Biden has been escorted out of the Bureau's Washington, D.C. field office. Okay? And he was seen exiting the Bureau last Friday, escorted by two or three headquarters-type-looking guys, professional-looking guys, according to the Washington Times. Yeah. Okay, that's after a month of vacation time, after all of this originally rose out. Okay, Timothy Thibault, who was in charge of the Washington field office until relatively recently, was on leave for at least a month following revelations over political statements he made while leading a public corruption unit. In other words, he's the guy in charge of public corruption, but he is literally sent away for a month for making political statements against individuals. This is just, I got to tell you something. When I grew up, the FBI had a name we trusted. I don't care whether it was earned or not. I can tell you that now I know the corruption in the FBI goes back to the days of, way back. I can't even, to within 10 or 15 years of their launch. But at the same time, we had respect for them in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s. Today, you mention the FBI and most people snicker because they know what's coming out of your mouth is either going to be a dig on them or a lie about them. And when I say a lie about them, not saying that you're lying about bad things, but if you're saying good things, it's a lie. This guy, amongst other things, made anti-Trump statements over social media in 2020 while he was helping to lead the FBI's probe of Hunter Biden while his father, Joe Biden, was running for the White House. Hold on a minute. Political bias has no place in the preeminent law enforcement agency in this country. There is supposed to be zero politics. Everything has to be based on law. Because if it's based on politics, then there is bias. If there is bias, they are no longer professional. They no longer should have the trust of anybody, including our Congress, who is their boss. But ask them if Congress is their boss. They'll be the first to tell you no. Stop and think about what's happening with the FBI. The trust in the FBI has evaporated today to the point where it just doesn't even exist anymore. Okay? Hunter Biden's laptop was given to the FBI in 2019, well before the election. But yet this guy and others who worked for him, around him, and he worked for, literally hid it. They told agents, you will ignore this. You will ignore anything you've seen. None of this is to be given any credit whatsoever. Yet knowing full well that it existed, okay, the FBI put out the fact that it didn't. Knowing full well that it actually existed in the terms it was originally told in several, you know, national newspapers, given these facts, it was told to us and reiterated by 50 leading, either retired or semi-retired, intelligence agents of high level that it was Russian disinformation. Did the FBI know for a fact, because they had it in their hands, that it wasn't disinformation? Yes, they did. But you were told, if you worked for the FBI, to shut your mouth and say nothing. Let me explain something to everybody listening to this. What I just explained to you, all right, is so illegal, it's insane. It borders on treasonous action. Why? Because what you have just done is influence an election in a political fashion via untruths. In other words, you lied to the American people to get your choice of president in office. It has already been stated, it has already been proven by polls taken across this country, that if all of the Hunter Biden information had been available when the FBI first learned of it, there is a very, very good chance, we're talking over 70% chance, Joe Biden would never have been elected. What we are talking about is one of the biggest election thefts in the history of this country. Let's forget about the fact that the vote was rigged. Let's forget about the fact that the ballot boxes were stuffed. Let's forget about the boxes they put all over town that people, you ever seen 2,000 mules? Watch it. Let's forget about all of that and just take this one instance here, where the FBI hid information that would have damned not only Hunter, but his father, who never would have been elected. It would have been Trump sitting in office today. Why has nobody at the FBI, I don't know, been put on trial? Why has none of them been, I don't know, literally thrown in prison? Why are just about 99.9% of them who were involved in this shenanigan against we the people still working at the FBI? Now, you tell me again, anybody out there that's saying Roger's being too harsh on the FBI, how the hell do you come up with that? if you go by U.S. law, they should all be in prison. Joe Bob should be in prison for his actions that are indicated on the laptop and other information supporting that laptop. And Trump should be in office. Not a joke, not a guess. This is a fact. We know this to be a fact now. We know it to be a fact. But yet, if Roger says this, he's a conspiracy theorist. If Roger says this, he's a bad person. If Roger says this, he's a MAGA guy. Okay? Where have I got this wrong, Steve? I'm a fascist, or at least a semi-fascist.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody that doesn't vote for this pedophile agenda is a fascist, yeah. And if you Roger, if you don't believe a man can have a baby, you're a fascist.
I know, or at least a semi-fascist. You see, Joe Bob kind of figured if he used the word semi in front of fascist, that the club wouldn't swing so hard upside his head. He was wrong. Okay? So the FBI boss also retweeted a post by the Lincoln Project, which called Trump a psychologically broken, embittered, and deeply unhappy man. This is a guy who ran a division against public corruption, and he's tweeting about his boss, okay? That Trump is a psychologically broken, embittered, and deeply unhappy man. Why the hell did he still have a job after that? Can anybody tell me? You cannot explain to me that this guy's allegiance is with his president, with his boss, after saying this. You can't say it. But yet, it must have been assumed. And you know what assumption does. It makes a, yeah, ASS out of you and me. All right, political bias has no place in the FBI. And the effort to revive the FBI's credibility can't stop with just this one exit. The FBI needs a flush, not a cleaning. You don't kick a couple of people out, not the Comeys. He's already retired, okay? And the guy sitting in that seat right now, he isn't any better. The FBI doesn't need a sweep. It doesn't need a cleaning. It needs a flush. A serious flush. If anybody's going to have any belief, offer any credibility to the FBI going forward, and that's not just in the United States, that's anywhere on the planet. The FBI is a laughing stock of the globe. That's a fact. Along with several other U.S. departments and organizations and administrations. But let's go on to the next topic while we still have time. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, you can expect more Democrat Hail Marys. Now let's get into what that means and why I say you can expect more Democrat Hail Marys. But let me rephrase that. You can expect more Dummycrat Hail Marys. It's pretty obvious to see that the Biden student loan handout is a midterm Hail Mary. With a 40% approval rating, why wouldn't the president throw some free stuff at the generous study graduates so they'll vote for him? And what has he got to lose by doing this? Okay. Notice I said, what has he got to lose? I didn't say, what has the average American got to lose by adding $300 billion to $1 trillion? Yeah, the low end, the one we're told of cost is $300 million. The actual cost done by most economists bumps up on $1 trillion. And if you ask the White House press secretary, she can't answer how much it's going to cost. If you ask Joe Biden, he refuses to answer the question. If you ask Kamala Harris, she's too stupid to even understand what you just asked her. So we're not getting any answers. But you tell me how that works out for you and me. You tell me how taking an individual who couldn't afford to go to college and is working 50, 60 hours a week just to pay his rent, and we'll get to that in a little bit, support his family, now has to pay extra money because people didn't pay their college loans? Or Joe Bob decided he was going to give them a break so he'd get more votes in the 2022 midterms? And it's not just that. What about the millions who busted their hump while they attended college, working two part-time jobs to pay their college loans as they went along? The people this will help the most are the people who are there for extended degrees, the people who are there to make college a career, the people who are there that are pretty much privileged. And they're going to see anywhere from a $10,000 to a $20,000 chunk of their owings go away. While the guy who's busting his hump and couldn't afford college, and the kids who busted their hump while in college to make sure they paid their college as they went along and incurred no debt, have to pay that debt. $1 trillion given to these banks to forgive these loans, so quote unquote forgive, means you and I have to pay for it. It's not forgiven. It's not wiped off the books. It goes into your tax bill. You pay for it now. How many people do you think understand that? How many people? As I said, notice what I said, okay? What has Joe Bob got to lose? I didn't say what has the average American got to lose by adding $300 billion to $100 billion, excuse me, to a trillion to the national debt. Who's the losers? The losers are you and me, which is just about, I don't know, par for the course for anything Joe Bob is doing at this point. What is he doing? It's a Hail Mary. Let me tell all these people they're going to have between $10,000 and $20,000 removed from that, and they're all going to vote for me. This is already coming back to smack him upside the head, and I hope it smacks him so damn hard it knocks him off his bike again. The inflation reduction bill will do anything but reduce inflation. But it will pad the pockets on many corporate blue donors. Lots of them. And who's going to pay for the inflation reduction bill, which is about $1 trillion? And who's going to pay for the college loan forgiveness bill, which is about $1 trillion? That alone, never mind the ones he did earlier, those two alone put $2 trillion worth of debt on your back and the backs of your children. Why? So he can rake in a few more votes in the 2022 elections for Democrats running for office. This is a Hail Mary. Want to know another Hail Mary? A huge Hail Mary? Mar-a-Lago is another Hail Mary that will be dragged out as long as it possibly can, okay, with one confusing finding by after another until it eventually fizzles out just after the midterms, and most likely with no charges filed against Trump, because Trump has, as the president of the United States, 100% authority to declassify anything. That's not a joke. And while they're saying today, well, if you take a look, these things are marked top secret CSI or SDI right on them, and they've got an image of it. What they're not telling you is that's also not Trump's fault. Trump didn't pack any of those boxes. Thus, the responsibility for those boxes being packed don't go on Trump. So when you got to sue somebody, when you've got to bring someone to jail because they broke national security laws, Trump didn't pack those boxes. That's an absolute fact. That's a known fact. They were packed for him. but he also had a standing executive order, which many people were aware of, including the Secret Service, which guards Mar-a-Lago still to this day, that anything that was removed from the White House and brought to a Trump resident was considered fully declassified. That's a standing order from the President of the United States. Now, what most people don't understand is he still has a lot of his authority up to 3 years after he leaves the White House. It hasn't been 3 years yet. What do we say about, I don't know, Hillary? And Roger worked in the technology world for the DOD, remember, for 30 years. What about Hillary, who had TSSCI information on a private server that didn't have anywhere near the protection that a government server would have? A private server in her private residence carrying information that anybody who wished to really hurt America could have hacked in and got. It's already been shown that her server was hacked by at least a half a dozen countries. Why is it? She didn't have the power to declassify anything. She was never president. But she was given carte blanche, a pass. No problem, Hillary. We're going to let you off. Comey said she did this. She did this. She did this. I listened to him saying that, and I cringed because I worked in a position where I had a TSSCI clearance for almost 20-something years. And I was cringing when he listed everything she did, and I waited for the hammer to drop. And he said, but we can find no reason to prosecute this. What? But Trump, who has the ability to declassify anything in his possession, and if he says it's declassified, it is up to those who work for him to change those markings and pack those boxes accordingly, which they still can't get him for anything, even if they do have the markings on them, because they are declassified. They just didn't change the markings. It was the idiot who packed the boxes that should be getting his butt smacked, not going to prison, because they're not classified documents anymore. But again, you're not being told any of this. You're being told how bad he is, how he could have sold America down the river, how he was in what? Are they saying, yeah, Strzok, and I love saying his name that way, the guy who literally told his girlfriend that they had a backup plan if Trump won, remember that? Worked for the FBI. Okay. He said in an interview a couple of days ago that he's quite sure that the Russians had an in at Mar-a-Lago and Trump was in on it. So here we go with Russiagate all over again. Are you freaking kidding me? This is all going to continue to play out up until the midterms and after the midterms. They're going to hope to find anything, a Hail Mary, that will allow them to prosecute Trump even for something he should never be prosecuted for, simply because they are terrified of him running for president in 2024. Or they need to defame him enough that anybody he backed in all of these elections, for all of these congressmen and these senators in their primaries, okay, they will all be looked down upon when it comes time for the election because Trump has been so beaten up by being such a security risk to this country. This is the Hail Mary they're looking for, except none of it is true. But the dummycrats don't know that. The dummycrats honestly believe, and I'm not talking about those who sit in Washington. They know the scam they're pulling. It's the people, the Democrats, the good people that live around this country that are listening to this crap and believing it. They are the dummycrats. Because they will believe what they're told, even though there is no backing to these lies. They are out to destroy Trump, and they need a Hail Mary to do it. So those are only two examples, okay? the Biden loan handout and Mar-a-Lago. That's two examples of the Hail Marys. I can tell you right now, between now and the next 2 months, you will see more. They are desperate. They know that if they have to run on what they have done for this country, meaning destroyed the economy, meaning destroyed our national security at the southern border, meaning made us the laughing stock of the world, be Afghanistan, meaning made our fuel prices and our fuel availability. We went from a fuel independent nation to one that's so dependent now it's insane. They know if they have to run on their accomplishments, it isn't going to happen. So they need every Hail Mary they can get, which means shift the blame to Republicans and Trump. Everything for the next 2 months that has been wrong and has gone wrong in America, you will hear, is either Republican, okay, or Trump's fault.
You about ready for that break there, Roger?
Oh, I was ready for the break about 5 minutes ago. My voice is going, please, please take a break. Go ahead, Steve. Thank you.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Okay. So that was expect more Democrat or Dummycrat Hail Marys. All right, let's go on to the next one. This just absolutely floors me. I grew up in a Christian family, Catholic family, okay? And that really it has something to do with the way I feel, but not everything to do with the way I feel. Because I'm sure there's some total agnostics out there. There's some total people who never had a religious thought in their mind ever who will think that this is every bit as disgusting as I do. And this is in the news, okay? Armed Antifa guard daytime drag show, which is entertaining kids. Listen to me again. Armed Antifa guard daytime drag show that's entertaining kids. I'm not joking you. Adult men who either dress like women or take, I don't know, surgical steps to impersonate them and then scheme for access to sexually perform in front of children are pedophiles. You can call them anything you want. If I'm going to dress up in drag, knowing specifically that I'm sexualizing children who are 7, 8, 10 years old, you tell me I'm not a pedophile. You tell me if I didn't fight to get that job, I wanted to be there with those kids. You tell me how the word pedophilia doesn't fit. It does. Okay? So let's go to a full stop. And this week in Texas, armed members of Antifa showed up to protect these drag queens, or as the author of the article I'm taking pieces of this from, those perverts, which is what he calls them, or she calls them, excuse me. In downtown Roanoke, a local distillery hosted a drag brunch with around 20 children in attendance, and in a perfect display of cognitive dissidents, radical leftists provided security for the event using or packing AR-15s. Wait a minute. Antifa is packing AR-15s to make sure nobody disturbs a sexually charged drag queen show with 20 children.
Hey, Roger.
A brunch. Yes.
I wonder if they're going to be given blanketed immunity like police are when they kill somebody that speaks up.
Let's hope it doesn't get to that, but when it gets to that, I've got a few choice things I want to say that just aren't appropriate right now. Probably would never be appropriate on any of these radio stations, so I may have to, go bleep every time I'm going to put a word in that's appropriate. But you're right, okay? That is something that should be thought of. The left, but listen to me, the left constantly advocates for the disarming of the citizenry. They firmly believe, the left, that your gun should be taken from you. What most people don't seem to understand is they don't want to take your guns away from you because they hate guns. They want to take their guns away from you because a disarmed population is much easier to control. Mao, before he took over and killed how many Chinese people? Disarmed the entire population. Stalin disarmed, or Lenin disarmed, the entire population. And I could go on and on. Prior to taking over a totalitarian situation or an authoritarian regime, will first make sure that all of your guns have been taken away. This is a huge left platform. They run on it constantly. Joe Biden said, or Joe Bob said just the other day, that he's going to make sure that any type of an AR-15 style weapon is removed from the hands of American citizens, the Second Amendment be damned. But yet, we have Antifa outside of a drag queen show with 20 children. It was, this brunch was specifically set up for children, okay? And these Antifa are standing outside, standing guard with their masks on, their black uniforms, and their AR-15s at the ready. Wait a minute. That don't fit. That don't work. But then, damned if you do it, but not damned if they do it. Okay? They have a reason. Their reason is they had to protect what they thought was right. But if you tell them the same thing, that don't mean nothing. You don't have that right. But they do. Again, the left constantly advocates for the disarming of the citizenry, especially those who are law-abiding. Yet, in a strange turn of events, those same leftists have no problem exercising their right to bear arms, so long as it is to protect children, for the protection of child predators. Anybody who thinks I'm using language that's too strong, again, you explain to me why you would set up, why would a distillery in Texas set up a brunch for children to be entertained by drag queens in a sexually charged presentation while outside the front door a couple dozen Antifa are standing with AR-15s loaded and at the ready. How many things do you see wrong with this? I don't have enough time left in this show to count them all. But I'll guarantee you something, and I want anybody out there to tell me if you think I'm wrong. Had that been a conservative setup with conservatives standing out there with their AR-15s, would you like to anybody out there, like to bet me that you wouldn't have seen all kinds of leftists and Antifa just out there in the street going against that like you wouldn't believe, rallying against it, rioting against it. But yet they can do it and they're ready to shoot somebody if they get mean. I am so sick and tired of what's going on in this country. I am so stressed with what's going on in this country. And it drives me every day to get up and do things like post articles, write articles, do shows, put together a platform like TLB Talk where you can actually go, a social media platform where you can actually actually go and talk about this. And you won't get shadow banned. People will actually see it. When I started the Liberty Beacon Project 14 years ago, I had no idea we would have 7 websites and a social media website, and I'd be doing 3 to 4 radio shows a week. I had no clue. But if tomorrow I woke up and somebody asked me to go on another show and to write another article and to start another platform, I would do it. The world we live in today is going to be judged. Eventually, it's all going to be judged. Which side are you going to be standing on? If you're sitting there listening to shows like this because they entertain you, if you're sitting there listening to shows like this because, I don't know, it breaks the boredom on a Wednesday afternoon, go away! I don't even want you here. If you're here listening because these are the things that are going to make a difference in your life going forward, in your children's life, in your grandchildren's life, what you can and can't say, where you can and can't go, what you can and can't buy, if that's why you're here, then you're one of my favorite people on the planet. It's time to step up, and I'm not done. The number of homeless people, next topic, is about to skyrocket as millions of U.S. renters will likely be evicted in the next 2 months. Millions! For the first time ever, the median rent in the United States is over $2,000 a month. It's over $2,000 a month. Imagine if you're making $24,000 a year, which a lot of people are, and your rent is the average rent, $2,000 a month. That means you can't get food. You can't pay electric. You can't have internet. You can't put gas in your car because $2,000 a month times 12 months is $24,000. So in other words, the cost of rent today is extremely prohibitive to the average American. And this shows no sign of stopping. The Census Bureau indicates that 3.8 million, almost 4 million renters will likely be evicted in the next 2 months.
But wait.
Go ahead.
But wait, though, Roger. Wait until they make everybody buy the electric cars and then quadruple your energy.
Electric bill.
Electric bill, yeah.
Yep. And right now, as a matter of fact, California is saying, I think by 2035, you will not be able to own or buy a gas-powered vehicle in the state of California. But what most people do, and that goes up, and it has to be so many by this year, so many by this year, and it tops off in 2035.
But
the problem with that is that the electric grid in California isn't even a hair's breadth close to to servicing that.
Yeah.
It's totally impossible.
And I don't know. It's probably going to cost somewhere north of $70,000 or $80,000 to buy one of the electric cars. And what is it, like $25,000 to $30,000 just to replace the batteries in them?
Yeah, but hey, hold on, because the government will probably say anybody who's going to go out and buy an electric car, we'll give you $20,000, so you're going to go out and buy that car. And then what's going to happen? Hold on, Steve. What's going to happen? When they told these students, we're going to give you each 10, and depending on what your situation is, up to $20,000 forgiveness on your college loans, what did the colleges do? They raised the college tuition fees by almost $10,000.
Yeah, but wait, though, Roger. They will eventually, they will tell somebody how much they will be allowed to make with that free education of theirs.
Yeah. Not only that, but if you're going to tell me that I'm going to forgive $10,000 of your college debt, so the college turns around and raises your tuition fee by $10,000, net gain is zero. Okay. Now, if you're going to tell me I'm going to give you $20,000 towards an electric car, I will guarantee you, and it's already happened, there's already a $7,000 payout you can get for buying an electric car. And all of the main, including, yeah, all of them, okay, have raised the price of their electric vehicles by $5,000 to $7,000. So if you tell me I'm going to give you $20,000 to make it more affordable for you to buy an electric vehicle, I can guarantee you the price of that electric vehicle is going to go up between $15,000 and $20,000. Now, hold on a second. You get that electric vehicle for $30,000 instead of $50,000, but the $20,000 goes on my back. The $20,000 goes on my children's back. The $20,000 goes on the poor person down the street who can barely pay his rent and is about to get evicted. That massive handout is going to do the same thing that these college handouts did. It's going to hit everybody out there who cannot afford to buy an electric vehicle, but they're going to pay for yours.
Well, that's not even going to take into account when they drop the bomb on us and inflation is back up around 21% like it was 47 years ago. And then we're in the 1930s Weimar Republic.
I'm going to tell you something right now. In the worst depression this country has seen, which was in the very early 20th century, in the worst depression this country has ever seen, the maximum inflation rate was 22 to 23%. I'm going to tell you that before the end of this year, we will be bumping up on 20%. We will be close to the worst inflation this country has ever seen. And literally millions upon millions upon millions of Americans were in breadlines, unemployed, dying in the streets, the whole nine yards. This is where we're headed. Because the Democrats feel that they can give you anything they want to give you to get you to vote for them. And then after the fact, they can always blame it on Trump and the Republicans. Don't think I'm kidding. I'm not. The combination of soaring inflation and the end of most eviction moratoriums, which is what we had during the pandemic, eviction moratoriums and rental assistance payments. Okay, this is all coming to an end, and some of it has already come to an end. And an extremely low vacancy rate has pushed rents way up, and many renters thus out. Rents are up nearly 25% of what they were before the pandemic, which means if you were paying $1,000 a month before the pandemic, you're paying $1,250. A month now. If you were paying $2,000, you're now paying, $2,500. This is what's happened in a year and a half. And they're saying it's going to get worse. Let's go to my last point. Did you want to say something, Steve?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to quote Billy Mays. But wait, there's more.
Here's my last topic, okay? The midterms. Watch out. Yeah, that's what I'm calling my last segment. The midterms. Watch out. In just over 2 months, remember that, the vast majority of rank-and-file Americans eagerly anticipate having the opportunity to finally start the process of righting the path of our dangerous out-of-control ship of state. Conservative commentators and some Republican political leaders, other than the rhinos, talk endlessly about the huge red wave that, in the words of one observer, will destroy the Democratic Party as a national institution. Polling data, conventional wisdom, and the horrendous performance of the Biden regime, along with the lackeys in Congress, all point to such an outcome. But is that what is really in store for America? To begin with, looking at the many irregularities that we have seen, even in the recent primary season, primaries going on all over the country, a lot of them, again, I think Trump has like a 90% plus win record on candidates he supported. 90 plus. I've heard one person say 95%. I think it's like 93 or 94%. Okay? It should now be clear that we have a long way to go until we can realistically expect genuinely free and fair elections. While substantial progress has been made in many parts of the country, many others are still plagued by crooked secretaries of state and highly dubious electronic voting systems. If the midterms do in fact take place, let me say that again. If the midterms do in fact take place, remember I said that, while Republicans might very well take back both houses of Congress, given what fraud will still likely occur, our margin of victory will probably be underwhelming. In the current circumstances, I would submit that it would be downright foolish to expect much more than that. Now, let's go back to the phrase I emphasized. Note a phrase I just said. If the midterms do, in fact, take place. All right. Everybody here needs to be prepared. Everybody here needs to be prepared on what is the power of the President of the United States. What can or can't he do? And what are we primed for more today in this country than we have been in the entire time I've been alive, which is bumping up on 70 years. I just turned 68 last Friday. Okay? So I'm saying if the midterms do in fact take place, what do I mean? If Joe Bob's handlers are willing to do the illegal and unconstitutional bull that they are presently doing, and look at all of the stuff that's happening. Right now, what are they doing? They're dragging a U.S. president over the coals, doing everything they can to find anything they can find, whether it's made up or not, to get this guy either in jail or in a situation where he cannot run for president again. This is an ex-president of the United States of America. It has never happened in our history, no matter how unpopular that president was. We are seeing catastrophic events pushing against what is constitutional in this country at a rate that is totally unheard of. So let me state this again. If Joe Bob's handlers are willing to do the illegal and the unconstitutional bull they are presently doing, okay, what makes you think they won't find a reason to declare a national emergency and postpone the midterms indefinitely? I'm going to tell you that right now, the President of the United States could declare a national emergency, whether it's over food issues. We've just seen another food processing plant. Yeah, another one go up in flames. We have seen more food processing plants destroyed or almost destroyed in this country in the last 18 months than we've seen in the last 25 years combined. Gee, what's happening to food prices? What's happening to food availability? Didn't Joe Bob get on TV and tell people we're going to hit a point of food scarcity? What did he have, a crystal ball? Huh? How much farmland is being bought up either by the government or by the likes of Bill Gates and literally taking out of the farming scheme? Totally. They're not farming anything. Why? So we're destroying herds of cattle, literally paying farmers to destroy their cows, to destroy their chickens, to destroy their turkeys, to destroy, and I could go on. Paying them to do it, really not giving them a choice, but telling them we're going to give you 160% of the market value, but you have to destroy your entire herd. Then they go out and destroy what? How many food processing plants in the United States more than the last 25 years combined in 18 months? There's a coincidence for you. Come on. But yet Joe Bob, almost a year ago, steps up and says, beware of food scarcity. How the hell did he know that? How? recession, inflation wouldn't knock food off the shelf. Okay? It will make it more expensive.
But say, Roger,
farmers, go ahead.
Didn't he also say that we were going to have cold winter?
Yes.
That, well, the, yes. The energy prices and lack of everything.
Yes. Lack of coal, lack of oil, lack of natural gas, lack of... Okay. And none of this has to be. None of it. All right? Joe Bob can declare a national emergency because you can't heat... Nobody can heat their homes. He can declare a national emergency because there's not enough shelter for a significant portion of the American population. He declare a national emergency because there's... They found out, they finally took their head out of their butt and realized how many... terrorists have actually been allowed into this country. They can declare a national emergency because Russia, okay, decides they're going to go to war with the United States because of what the United States has been doing in Ukraine. Joe Bob has so many different areas, and he, as president, can declare a national emergency. Now, two-thirds of Congress could overrule that. They could say, nope, you're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. But right now, the Democrats or the dummy rats or the Democrats, all of these are on his side, lockstep. They're actually his motivators. They're actually pulling his strings. If you think for one second that they're not going to back him up if he declares a national emergency so that they can maintain, not only maintain power, but take it to total authoritarian power during a national emergency? Do you think for one second they won't back him to the hilt? And what are the Republicans going to do? Because there won't be an election to put them in. Which means that the Democrats will maintain power over Congress, excuse me, the House, the Senate, and the presidency. Which means that the president declaring a national emergency will go unchallenged. If you don't think over the next 2 months they don't get desperate enough to do something like this, you're a moron. And when you go to bed tonight, if you have any religion at all, pray the hell it doesn't happen. Because that will start a revolution in this country quicker than anything you've ever seen. This is how close we are to America going to her knees. And Joe Bob was put into office, as I've told all of you many times, to bring America to her knees. You cannot have global governance until the cowboys of the world are brought to their knees. We're about two steps away from that, people. You need to wake up. You need to be involved. You need to get a hold of your congressman. You need to get a hold of your senator. You need to be a part of this system today. If you sit back and just listen to this show because it's entertainment, please go away. This country is falling to its knees. It's not a joke. I'm not a conspiracy theory. Everything I told you today is a fact, and that list is 10 times the size of what I could have given you today. America is in more danger today than she has ever been since the Civil War and the Revolutionary War. Nothing compares. It is that bad. And if Joe Bob decides he's going to declare a national emergency, he just became the dictator of America. And he will have a full structure supporting him, and you will have nothing you can say about it. Any last words from you, Steve? Because I think I really punched that home.
No, I just... I made a comment earlier that we are living, or close to living, in the Idiocracy days of Mike Judge. Is that what his name was, the guy that made that movie? Did you ever see that movie?
Look, it's all dummy crap. Like,
yeah. Did you ever see that movie, though?
Which movie are you talking about?
Idiocracy.
Yes, I have. Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm just waiting for president. I don't know.
All right, look, Thank you all for listening. I hope you take away from this exactly what I wanted you to get from it, and that is America is not in a good place. And it is a nation that was built upon the precipice of we the people. It is all about us. It is more about us today than it has been in a very, very long time. Get off your lazy butt. Become involved. If you don't, shut up. If you don't get involved, if you don't keep this disaster from happening that's right on our doorstep, do not complain because you did nothing to stop it. It is time for the American voice to be heard, the patriots in America to be heard. Speak up or shut up. Thank you as usual, Steve. It's always a pleasure doing a show with you.
Yes, it is. Till next time, everyone.